You never know how God wants to bless you. So you can't, the Bible says, man look on the outer appearance. But God looks at our heart. I'm planning something for you faithful saints this summer. Haven't quite got it all together yet, but God's going to do a new thing inside of Turning Point. Do a few new things and do a few rewards. Hopefully on next week, we'll have our cameras up and going for our live streaming. Amen. So you can be able to see it on YouTube. Mother Vogel, we're going to have to get those sons of yours to come over there and set that up for you. But it's not for you to stay home. Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. That's when you can't get here. You get blessed and rewarded for coming to God's presence. And if you learn no other scripture, with the same measure you meet, it's measured back to you again. That's how God keeps from being a respecter of persons. You give me a lot, I give you a lot back. You give me a little, I give you a little back. With the same measure, I measure it back to you again. In the book of St. Luke, chapter 4, Mother Frieda, stand up again. I think she's 92. I hit it. Isn't that one of the youngest 92-year-olds you ever seen? Got that smooth baby face. I tell her that all the time. We got some of the youngest 90-year-olds. She's part of my 90s club. Got a few of them in here. I just hope God graced me just close to what he's done with these 90-year-olds in here. And we thank God for them. Keep those that are not in our midst today in your prayers. You know, Brother Donald, he's just a faithful man. He don't like you to talk about him, but I can't help it today. I've had some great brother-in-laws. I lost one, but I couldn't have asked for a better brother-in-law. Amen. Always helping wherever he can. Don't want no recognition. Don't want to be up front. He just sees the need and he does it. I want you to pray for him. He was at a funeral of a very close friend of his on this past Saturday. And while he was at the funeral, he got a phone call from his sister that his nephew was killed in a car accident. And the tragedy of it was Brother Donald was about to go to Georgia, I think it was Georgia, because the young nephew was being recruited by quite a few colleges. And as big as that family is, Donald tries to help them all. And they call on him as if he's the daddy, and I guess he is the daddy in the family. Because they call upon him, and he tries to, as much as within him, but pray for him. That God sustains him at his hour. In Luke chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse 17 through 19. And we're going to be in this same three verses for a few weeks. And it says, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the receiving of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. You know, the this chapter 4 was written. Oh, by the way, before I get into my message, Brother Colin caught my attention. That's Mother Wilmot's son. And, oh, Jamaica's in the house. I got another Jamaican brother, Colin. They're in the house today. And I want us to, I need my musicians on time. And because once I start the YouTube, even though I'm going to edit it, and it's going to be a week behind, I don't know how I need to edit it. So we're not here long, so we can get here on time. Colin took my thought. But anyway, this particular scripture is when Jesus had come to the Jordan and he had been baptized and he had went into the wilderness. And this is a very important scripture because it was beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so Jesus had went and fasted for 40 days. And he had come here on earth and had been given power by the Father. And if you know the history of how Satan got kicked out of heaven and how he had come whenever God calls all the heavenly hosts before him, or even Satan and the angels that had been kicked out, there was only one occasion where Satan said, "Now I could get Job if you would just take that hedge from around him." And Jesus knew that he couldn't, so he took the hedge from around. So Satan had saw that he, even though the hedge was down, he could not conquer Job. And this story shows where Jesus had been given by the Father all power in heaven and in earth. All power. Jesus said, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me." And so God came down and had come in the form of man to die for the sins of the world. So he was probably in the weakest state that he could ever be, because he had flesh influencing a soul that he had been given to die for mankind. So while he was in the wilderness, Satan shows up. He knows what he has come to die for. So instead of going to the cross, if you read the early part of the chapter, he says, "You ain't got to die. I'll give it to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. What you came to die for, I'll give it to you." And Jesus responds back to him. And he also had told, he knew Jesus was hungry because he hadn't eaten. And the devil said, "Now, if you are the Son of God, won't you just go ahead and make these stones some bread?" And Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So today's message, I want to deal with just part of this verses I read. And I want to read just the first part in verse 18. and talk about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he have anointed me. He has proclaimed me. He's expounded to me. He's explained to me the gospel to the poor. So today's message is the gospel for the poor. And I want to expound and explain today what Jesus meant here about being anointed to preach to the poor. To the poor. To be poor in spirit means that you are being deprived in your spiritual state, the state that you're in. If you're spiritually poor, you're being deprived of receiving something that is available for you. And you are being deprived of spiritual assets that's available to help you in your spiritual life. If Jesus had been deprived when Satan tempted him in the wilderness, he would have never gone to the cross to die for the sins of the world. So he was not poor in spirit. Poor in spirit means that you feel you have no spiritual riches. You cannot reach God when you have a need. You know, it's like if you went on a 3-day fast or a 5-day fast or a 7-day fast, and you needed to pick up something that's kind of heavy that you would normally be able to get, you wouldn't have the strength because you was weak from a lack of nutrition. And you would have to get someone else to go and help you. Well, the same thing applies in your spiritual self. If it's poor in spirit, it does not have the ability or the strength to tackle spiritual things. So he's talking to two different groups of people here. Those that have not been born again, and those that are born again, but are very malnutritioned, that do not have the strength to tackle spiritual things. Yeah, yeah. So it may be one of spiritual poverty, or it may be you are spiritually bankrupt. Either you're just poor, or you're bankrupt. I don't mean you do not believe in God. Most people believe in a God, in some type of deity. They believe in him, but there's no spiritual connection in the relationship. I can't connect with you when I have a spiritual need. That means you're no closer than the Jews were in the old covenant. They were allowed, according to the Mosaic law and according to the laws that God had gave to them as a chosen people, that as they sinned, they were allowed to go to the brazen altar. And they were allowed to transfer their sins by laying their hands on the head of an innocent animal to pay for the sin. But that's as far as they could go. They were not allowed to go into the middle compartment, which was called the sanctuary. Only the priest could go in there. They couldn't go into the most holy place. Only the high priest could go in there. So there wasn't a connection. All they did was went and paid for their sins. And that's what many believers do. They get to the cross, which is the altar. They recognize that Christ has paid for the sins, but they're not able to go any further. They cannot get to a place where God's Spirit that He promised was going to lead and guide you to the truth. He was going to reveal things to you that you cannot know on your own. It grants you access to heaven and the throne. And it gives you eternal life, because all we're able to do is go to the cross, and we're not able to go any further. And we think going to the cross is the end, and everything has been accomplished. And that's what makes people so poor in spirit. They believe, just because I got saved when I was 8 years old and got water baptized, I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. And some years ago, I taught a message. It was entitled, Being Saved May Not Be Enough. Because if you look at what the word means, it only means that you've been delivered. It does not mean that anything beyond that has occurred. If you were drowning in your neighborhood pool this weekend and somebody jumped in, a lifeguard, and saved you, you became saved, but you still can't swim. Don't jump in there again. You were saved. So thinking you're going to come back when the pool is closed and go back in and you can't swim, that's as foolish as people thinking once saved, always saved. And that because I went through the ceremonial parts of getting prayer, having olive oil laid on my forehead, and I've transferred my sins to Jesus Christ, that everything else has been accomplished also. But many become spiritually poor or spiritually bankrupt. Spiritual poverty, in its simplest form, means that you lack the necessary, the basic things in your spiritual life. Just the basic things. The basic things like studying God's word, having a devotion each day, praying, assembling yourselves together with other believers. And without these basic necessities, you cannot sustain a Christian life over any extended period of time. You can take care of an event here and an issue here and an issue there, but you are not physically strong enough to sustain yourself for any long period of time. I used to jog at night, and I would jog for blocks. Now I can hope to walk for blocks without any jogging, because I can't sustain it. I lack the strength. Yes. My mind tells me I can do anything I see everybody else do. Yes. But my body tells me, no, you can't. And so the same thing applies spiritually. You might come to church once a week and may be faithful. But if you are not having a devotion, studying the word and praying, you are spiritually poor. The right issue has not occurred yet to show you that you don't have the strength. Sister Joyce could have been devastated in her physical condition. My wife could be devastated because of her brother's death. People make it through spiritual things because they are spiritually strong. They might be physically weak, materially poor, but irregardless of whether your materials or your physical is of substance, you can make it if you're spiritually strong. Jesus gave up food for 40 days, and it did not weaken him when Satan came. He still is, though you want me to perform a miracle on some stones, which I can do, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when a person has a low spiritual achievement, what do I mean by low spiritual achievement? I'm talking about spiritual things that you're trying to overcome. When they have a low spiritual achievement, it's a result of two things: inadequate education. In other words, you don't know what the word says. You don't know how to fight this spiritual thing by the word of God, because you can't deal with it just by telling a spiritual issue, I reject you. I don't receive it. I rebuke it. Get behind me. That doesn't make anything change. That's me trying to be like the sons of Sceva, trying to cast the devil out like Paul and say, I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preached. And the spirit responds, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? You have no spiritual strength because you're in spiritual poverty and don't know how to work your way through the kingdom. So it makes believers, sincere believers, love God, but can't get spiritual results. Have you ever noticed that when you have a crisis? Now, I want you to think about this. Whenever there's a spiritual crisis, when all hope is gone, it's always the ones that do not assemble together, do not study the word, and do not pray is the first one that says, let's pray. They're the first ones. Let's pray. And if they have studied the word, God says, I don't hear sinners. You haven't taken care of the cross yet. How do you think you get into fellowship? You haven't taken care of the cross. You can't get to where fellowship with God is, to where you can even ask, because you haven't dealt with the root problem. I have not given you authority to use my name. So that means that person is spiritually poor and cannot handle the crisis. For spiritual education, don't take on a crisis with two or three people. Say, let's two or three of us agree. And you know they can't even get past the cross. You're not going to get no results there. Amen. Amen. There's no results. You got to go find two or three who can agree, that are spiritually strong. And God said, if two or three agree on earth on anything, it shall be done in heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. But those not for the spiritually poor, Just because three folk got together, meaning that God's going to show up, because he done already said, you got one in that group that I don't hear. It might be two in that group that I don't hear. He says, because whatever you ask, I'll do it. So it could be a spiritual education, or it could be your spiritual health care. Your health is not very good spiritually, not to get a result from God, which means that I have not taken care of the inner man. Now, God gave you a new birth in your spirit. The new birth is in your spirit. But the results of your praying don't come from your spirit. The results of your praying come from your soul. Because that's where the belief has to take place. And if I cannot believe God, so now I've got two or three gathered together that love God, but one's a doubter. And another one's got unbelief. So therefore, I still can't get what I'm asking for. Might be faithful, might be even tithe givers. But he ain't talking about tithing here. He's talking about your spirit. How healthy is it? Is it poor? Is it bankrupt? Because he said, I came to anoint the poor in spirit. So when I brought you into my kingdom, I came with the power to anoint the poor in spirit. He says it in Matthew chapter 4. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they get the kingdom of God. In other words, he's saying, I came to anoint you here. And in Matthew, he's saying, now I'm going to show you how, if you got a strong spirit, how to get spiritual things solved. They get solved from heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I already know you're poor. I already know you can't reach God. And I already know you can't solve this spiritual problem. Come into the kingdom, and now you can solve those problems. I've given you a roadmap. I'm telling you how to take care of your spirit problem. So, having your spirit not to be poor is to help you through your challenges of illnesses, your grief, your loss, pain, things that emotionally you can't get over. Rebuilding relationships that you don't know how to solve. To regain a sense of well-being. This is to help you while you're going through. So therefore, God does not want you to make the fact that he has come to preach, explain, expound to those that are poor in spirit just to become religious. I want you to start receiving the benefits of heaven now while you're yet here on earth. Then others are spiritually bankrupt. Now, it's one thing to be poor. Let me go to natural for a minute. You're naturally poor, which means that you don't have very many means. You have to be futile with your finances so you can make it. It might mean that you're going from week to week to make ends meet. And that's just a real thing that occurs. But to go bankrupt means that you've gone beyond the week to week. You done ran out. There is no other way for me to solve my problem. So spiritually bankrupt gives you a higher vulnerability in the spirit realm. You've become destitute and needy, and you've reduced your Christian life to being a beggar for spiritual things. I'm talking about spiritual things. You've reduced your Christian life to being a beggar. So every time you go to God, you can't say thank you because you're asking for God to solve something. I can't say I thank you just for waking me up today. You kept me from the seen and unseen things. You've given me activities of my limbs, and you made food provision for me. You protected me over the highways. I can't tell him thank you because I'm there begging. And what makes us be beggars is a lack of fellowship. That's what makes us beg. Because the same one you begging for said, I knew what you wanted before you even asked me. And when you call upon me, I will answer. How can a believer get to a place of being a beggar? Unless they're spiritually bankrupt and has no way of getting to God, and constant begging God as a believer, claiming salvation and the promises of God, but living a life constantly begging, claiming salvation, claiming to know God, quoting all kind of cliches, saying that I have received every promise he got, and have no results, it shows you are on life support spiritually. It's a weak body of Christ that functions with most of their decisions based on their natural skills and abilities in the flesh. I could talk about me. When I first got saved, I used a whole lot of my natural skills because it was being lazy. And I used to stop and watch and listen to the mentors that were older than me spiritually and naturally, and listen to how God blessed them and the challenges they had, and how God solved those challenges. And I used to say, well, why don't that happen to me? Elder Lewis, when he was living, used to have more stories on what God was doing. And I used to sit there and listen to the testimony and wonder, well, that don't happen to me. And Bishop James had some just unbelievable story. This unbelievable story. And how God solved them. I'm going to say this one real quick because I don't want to stay here long. So I'm going to leave a lot out. He had a house he was trying to sell. Couldn't sell it for the life of him. Reduced the price down so low that he was trying to give it away. And nobody still wouldn't buy it. And so he came up and said, God, I tell you what. I just want to get rid of this house. I know it ain't worth much, but if you at least give me $8,000 for it, I'll give all the $8,000 to the church. Now, you know he's in a desperate place. I can't get rid of it. The reason why people were living in it, and it was causing him more trouble than trying to keep it. So now he had got so desperate, he was, just get it off my hands, and I will give all the money to the church. He sleep one night, and his phone rings in the middle of the night. And he turns around, and this ain't just one story. These are stories after stories after stories. This helped me hearing these stories. And so the phone rung, and one of the members called, said, "Bishop, your house is on fire." And he, "Which house?" And he told him, he said he jumped out, put his feet on the floor, and by the time his feet hit the floor, he said, "God said, didn't you say you want to get rid of that house?" Now this story is deep down in here. I haven't let this one get away. He said he stopped and put his feet back in the bed, pulled the covers back up, went back to sleep. Next morning, got up, read the newspaper, and said house was totally destroyed. He said, "Well, I ain't gonna get much for this house, so whatever they give me, I'm gonna take, and I'm gonna add to it, because I promised God, if you get rid of the house, I'll give the whole $8,000 to the church." So he thought he had to add to it. So he talked to the insurance company. Insurance company, "Well, you know the house ain't worth very much." He said, I know. "Just give me whatever you're going to give me, and I'll be satisfied." He said, "Well, all we can give you is $25,000. He said, "So I took the $8,000 and gave it to the church, like I said, and I put the rest in my pocket." So I have learned that if you learn how to reach beyond this world realm, and your spirit is not in poverty or bankrupt, God's promise that I will lead and guide you. I will reveal things to you. And the reason why the body of Christ don't receive a lot of things is too much flesh running the church. That when God presents something spiritual, you can't even see it. You think there's something hidden, and God's trying to bless you. And you hear more natural-minded Procter & Gamble thinking. I know it because I was in there for 30 years. I know it when I hear it. And God ain't nowhere in the plan because you're spiritually bankrupt trying to function and a spiritual organism where God does not abide. So then, bankrupt because there's an insufficient prayer life to cover those infirmities. You know, he talked about getting rid of your spiritual infirmities. And so you have an insufficient prayer life to cover those infirmities and illnesses and in health and medical conditions, spiritually speaking, and thinking what you had with God in the past was enough to sustain you until he returns. So you live off of something and a testimony and a belief and a practice that you did 30 years ago and nothing has changed. God is not that limited. The one that created the whole earth, I don't need to solve the problem. He promised that the church was his responsibility and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. No matter how it might look, God knows how to help you in a spiritual situation. So each time you come to church, don't let it be like going to the emergency room. Not too sure if you're going to have your coverage to take care of it when you come out. You end up spiritually ruined and lose what you once had. To be poor in spirit is to acknowledge honestly and with understanding your spiritual poverty, your spiritual bankruptcy before God. But I bring you good news today if you find yourself spiritually poor, are spiritually bankrupt. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is both in eternity and is also for you now. To be poor in spirit is to be ungodly. You say, "I'm not ungodly." Well, if you're not communicating with God, he's not leading you. You're not having the characteristics of him. you're ungodly. Ungodly don't mean that you have to be a pimp and a prostitute or an embezzler. It don't mean that you have to be a drug dealer. We think because the things we don't do, that makes you godly. Godly don't come because of what you don't do. Godly comes from what you do. I'm more godlike. There was a lot of believers that came and accepted Christ from the cross until the 11th chapter of Acts when Paul went to Antioch. And it wasn't until Paul went to Antioch that these believers were first called Christians, because they did not just believe the gospel. They started acting like Christ did. They were Christ-like. They had become Christians, Christ-like. So you have nothing to offer God and nothing to plead, nothing with which to buy his grace. All you can do is confess by faith, repent, and allow his grace through his blood that Jesus shed for the world to cover your sins and justify you and to offer you eternal life in his kingdom. So Jesus declares himself as the anointed one because he was appointed, assigned, and authorized to be the Christ. He was appointed when the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. He was also assigned, Isaiah 61 says, which my theme of my trees of righteousness come from. He was assigned to those that mourn in Zion. He was assigned to give beauty in place of your ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. He was authorized that you, like them, might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, to be the Christ, the one that has come for the anoint the poor. Don't stay spiritually poor. Turn it around today. Start a devotional life. Not begging. Be thankful that you even woke up this morning. There's a lot of folk didn't wake up.